Today I want to take a what I call a familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to see some lessons that we can learn from it. I've titled my message, Principles of Worship Gleaned from the Wise Men. Principles of Worship Gleaned from the Wise Men. And I might mention, most of these thoughts are actually come from A.P. Gibbs's book on worship. So that's kind of where I got these thoughts from. But anyway, we want to look at the story of the wise men found in Matthew chapter 2. And we want to just kind of examine some principles of worship. I mean, after all, we have our worship meeting every Sunday morning. We come here and we worship. And it's a very important part or function of our assembly. So I thought it would be good just to kind of examine that a little bit this morning. So if you would, turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. So the first thing that we see here as we think about this is the fact that worship is an act of those who are wise. Worship is an act of those who are wise. Notice the scriptures called them wise men. Now, I looked in, I think, the Living Bible this morning, and it said astrologers, whatever the case. But here in the King James, it uses the term wise men. Now, we don't know for certain why they're just addressed this way, but they obviously had to be wise to understand the relevance of the star. And we don't know exactly what transpired there in terms of them relaying that information of the Lord to them. But obviously, they knew something was up. They somehow understood that the king of the Jews was born in Israel. And I thought it's interesting, notice when they get there, three times you see in the reading where they describe it as a young child. So as we are going to learn, that took them a long time to get there. Maybe between figuring it out and actually getting there. Now, in numerous places in Scripture, we see the wisdom of God contrasted with the wisdom of man or the wisdom of this world. Okay? And so we see a big difference. I need six men. I got six verses I want read, or six different scriptures. So I need six volunteers. I need somebody to want to read, or will read 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and verse 21, okay? Somebody to read Proverbs 9, 10. Proverbs 9, 10, okay? Deuteronomy 32, 28 and 29. Okay? Proverbs 1, 5. Okay, Proverbs 1, 5. And 2 Timothy 3, 15. And then last, Acts 4, 13. Acts 4, 13. Okay, all right, so 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 21. I can't remember who volunteered, but go ahead. Thank you. Proverbs 9:10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Deuteronomy 32, 28 and 29. Proverbs 1, 5.
Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands the things that are done.
2 Timothy 3, 15. Acts 4, 13. So sometimes what we see or hear as being wise isn't wise, okay? And sometimes what we are told is not wise is wise. For those of us who are Christians out in the world, for many, we are fools. We are foolish for believing the Scriptures. But you know the day is coming when the tables are going to be turned, and it's going to be a horrible time when they are going to realize that time is too late, and they're going to end up apart from Christ forever. We, meantime, will be in heaven rejoicing with the Lord forever. So what looks wise to the world isn't necessarily wise, and certainly gives thoughts there. So it's not how much learning a person has that makes a person wise, but rather the surrender of self to God and the focusing of full attention to God and His Word in complete obedience to Him. Let me read that again. It's not how much learning a person has that makes a person wise, but rather the surrender of self to God and the focusing of full attention to God and His Word in complete obedience to Him. Verse 2, we find that worship calls for divine guidance. Just as the star guided the wise men to worship the King born of the Jews, so must the Holy Spirit guide us in worship. Just as faith is motivated by God, so is worship motivated by the Holy Spirit if it's to be genuine worship. Worship is the spontaneous, overflowing response of man by the Holy Spirit. Response of man to the person and work of God. Same thing. God so overwhelms us with Himself that we cannot but overflow. We cannot but overflow with a sense of appreciation, a sense of devotion, a sense of gratitude, a sense of wow. It's motivated by God, not man. However, a man must allow the Holy Spirit to fill him so that he becomes a suitable vessel out of which worship can flow. I'm just curious, how many of you have ever seen a spring? You've seen a spring, okay? A place maybe on the hillside, and the water comes out of that spring. Okay, depending on the type of spring. If you somehow stuff it right here, what's going to happen to it elsewhere? It's going to flow out, right? You can't stop it. The water's going to come out. I mean, you may stuff around it for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to find a way out. To me, that's a beautiful description of worship. I mean, your heart is just so full. And it's just, you're just so bubbling over that you can't contain it. And so that's a good, beautiful illustration. Worship necessitates both preparation and separation. While worship is initiated by the Holy Spirit, there's the human element. As we think about the wise men, what did they do before worship could become a reality? Well, the first thing they did was what? They observed a star. They saw a star. Again, I don't understand all this, whether it was a new star or something that shone more brightly or whatever. But they saw something that caught their attention. And whether the Holy Spirit somehow gave them that information that this is a newborn king, we don't know. But notice, they did not worship the star. The scriptures are clear that we are not to worship what was created, but rather we must worship the Creator and Him alone. Worshiping anything else is idolatry. And sad to say, too much of our lives is spent focusing on that which was created rather than the one who created it all. The wise men probably went to Jerusalem because that was the place of worship. That was where Israel's God dwelt. That was kind of the center of the religious system. And so perhaps they went there with that in mind. Perhaps they were following tradition that Jerusalem was the center. If you recall, when the Babylonians captured Judah and Jerusalem, what did they do? They carried away many of the children of Israel into the land of Babylon. Many of those people, they continued their worship of God even in Babylon. Perhaps these wise men heard the stories of some of the things that occurred in the past. Maybe they heard of the occasion when King Nebuchadnezzar built this tall statue and he said everybody has to bow down and worship it at the sound of all the instruments. And then they may have heard also the fact that there were three men from Israel who refused to bow down to all this, to his image. And King Nebuchadnezzar was so furious that he told them, you bow down. And they said, we can't. And so he had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. And he said, throw them in. And you know, you remember the details. Even the men who threw them in were burned. But did those three men in there walking around in that fire burn? No, actually there were how many? There were 4 men in there. Maybe they heard that story, and they heard that these three men were not hurt. There was not even a point of singeing on their clothing. And so they may have heard that. Maybe they heard the story of Daniel. You know how his co people that controlled the land were jealous, and they said, we got to get Daniel. And so they conjured up some law saying you can't worship, you can't pray to anybody else but to the king. And so they enacted this law. And Daniel, he just continued praying like normal. And remember what happened to him? He was thrown in the lion's den. Did the lions eat him up? And then the next morning when the king, he came early and seeking, and are you okay, Daniel? Yep, God protected me. And so the king had all those men, his accusers, thrown in. And remember what happened? Before their feet hit the ground, the lions devoured them. We don't know what story they heard, if any. Maybe they were familiar with Isaiah 9:2, which speaks of a light that's coming. Whatever the case, somehow it was revealed to them, or they understood that this was the birth of a king. And so they prepared themselves. They gathered clothing, they gathered food, they gathered water, and they brought what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Befitting a king. Befitting a king. In any case, these wise men, they left. Upon learning of the star's significance, they left their country, their homes, their loved ones to what? To find this king. We might think in terms of what does this require? Well, they became pilgrims, strangers, traveling for miles across barren land, overcoming obstacles. They had to make all kinds of preparations. It was a long trip. And again, as Lynn and I were in Israel, and I remember seeing those high mountains on both sides of the Jordan River, it's just hard for me to comprehend somebody making that trip just to go worship somebody they didn't know. Application. We must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in worship and do as He instructs us. There's a price tag to worship. We must be fully committed to Him. There's also the necessity of separation. We must separate ourselves from the sin and cares of this world. We must block out mental. Did we hear that before this morning? Mental and physical distractions so that we can concentrate upon the Lord and Him alone. We must renounce our own physical pleasure and desire and follow the path of obedience. I can't tell you how many times in my many years of being at the worship meeting, especially as our kids were growing up, and they weren't ready for church on time, and I'm trying to get everybody ready. You know, when you start yelling at them, if I had any worship prepared, guess what? It went out the window. Because when you're not in the right mental attitude, you can't worship. You can't. There is, again, that element of preparation and separation. Worship calls for both concentration of mind and determination of will. You see that in verses 3 to 8. What do we notice about Herod and the people of Jerusalem? One of the questions, what was the people's response when they came to the wise men? They were troubled. What do you mean they were troubled? You're telling me the King of the Jews is born and people are troubled? Yeah, they were troubled. Shouldn't have been. We would expect that there should have been great anticipation and joy. Guess what? The Messiah has come. I mean, they've been looking for him for what? Centuries. But most of them didn't even know. Didn't even know. Herod felt so threatened and disturbed, he demanded to know the meaning of it. He summoned the chief priests and scribes and demanded that they tell him where the child was to be born. Of course, the chief priests and scribes, they knew, didn't they? Yep, that was prophesied in, and they gave it, they quoted it, Micah 5:2. The scriptures do not indicate that any of the scribes or religious leaders went with the wise men to see the one who was born king of the Jews. Now you would expect, if these religious leaders were really waiting for the Messiah, and wise men come and say, we have seen his star in the east, the king of the Jews has come, you would suspect that they would be as excited as could be. But that was not the case. It says they were troubled. I mean, you know, maybe like, what are they talking about? Maybe some of them thought, could it be? But we don't have any indication that any of them went along with the wise men. You would expect it, but we don't have any indication. Herod pretended to worship the newborn king, but in reality was hostile to the thought of someone who might usurp his authority, his throne. You see, he inquired from the wise men, okay, when did this take place? Because he's scheming in his mind. Okay, if there's a king, I got to get rid of him or he's going to take my throne. So that's why what? He went to Bethlehem and had what? Anyone under 2 years of age killed. Total hostility. Total indifference. Total uncaring. Herod told the wise men to go to Bethlehem and search for the young child so that he too could come and worship him. Outright lie. Outright deception. Outright non-truth. You know, I think the days are coming when we're going to be told stuff that we're going to have to decide, make a decision. Is this true or not? Are we being fed some lies? I don't want to dwell on that, but something to think about. But notice that the wise men did not allow the apathy of the people to rob them of worship. They concentrated their minds on their mission of finding the newborn king. Their determination of will allowed nothing to hinder them from going. Again, application. The object of worship is not necessarily where we would expect to find it. That is, in fancy, ornate buildings, maybe with well-planned services or so on and so on. The scribes and religious leaders seemed too proud and arrogant to make this trip with the wise men. They were indifferent to the news they had received. Sad to say, we are sometimes indifferent to the thought of worship. Some often we come empty-handed with little or no preparation. The question could be asked as to why, what hinders our worship. How much are we willing to go out of our way to worship our Lord and Savior? Too often we allow the indifference of others to distract us from being fully engaged in worship. Too often our minds are distracted by upcoming events or activities. Again, we heard that this morning in the very beginning of our worship meeting. Distraction. Sad to say, we put so little into it that sometimes it's no matter, wonder that we get so little out of it. Do we come with the anticipation of truly worshiping God? In verses 9 and 10, we see that worship is accompanied by joy. The wise men, falsely encouraged by King Herod, went on their way, having received information about the birthplace of the king. They left Jerusalem, hoping to find the newborn king. This time, as they traveled, the star reappeared and seemed to guide them along each step of the way. And sure enough, it led them to the very place where the young child was. And there it stopped. Talk about the majesty of God in heaven. The star stopped right over where the young child was. God has no limits. God has all power. He can bring worship forth and joy. Verse 9 emphasizes that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You see, they had spent many days, maybe many weeks, maybe many months traveling over barren lands, dry lands, deserted lands, looking, coming, finding the king. And here, the star is guiding them. They see the star, it's cleared. And what do? They're filled with exceeding great joy. If somehow we could get as excited about our opportunity to worship as we do sports events, vacations, and so on, I think our worship meeting would be different. There was great anticipation on the part of the wise men by this time, and their excitement boiled over as they got nearer and nearer. And I think Creston kind of alluded to this, but does your excitement for our worship meeting get stronger as the week wears on? Do we anticipate it? Do we look forward to it? Hopefully, yes. Application. Too often we do not worship because we do not anticipate worship, or we give up too quickly. If the wise men would have been on their way, and after a while they would have given up and said, oh, we've gone too far, this is hopeless, we're never going to find him, and then turned around, they would have never found the king. Too often we do not worship because we are not focused on the one who is to be worshiped. Too often our minds are so cluttered with distractions and details and maybe things that we're going to go to or whatever we're going to do. But as we obey God and follow Him, we will be filled with joy. The joy that comes from knowing Him. The joy that comes from being assured of our eternal blessedness, of our acceptance in the Beloved. And as we do, we have every reason in the world to be full of joy and desire to worship the Lord. In verse 11, we see worship is conditioned upon seeing the Son of God. Even though there was great joy at seeing the star, worship only came when they finally met the King. Our worship must be directed to God and God alone. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus. Now, obviously, we worship that includes God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. But we see Jesus. Too often we're so distracted and our lives are so cluttered that we're not able to see Jesus. Verse 11, we also see that worship is a presentation of our gifts to God. And what gifts? Most of you knew this. What gifts did they present to Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold speaks of deity. Frankincense gives forth its perfume only as it is brought into contact with fire. Myrrh speaks of suffering and is associated with the death, burial of our Lord. So they express their faith in his essential and eternal deity. He is God. Secondly, they express their appreciation of its fragrance, of his sinless life. Thirdly, they express their value of his vicarious suffering by which the redemption of humanity should be accomplished. They didn't just come with any gifts. No, they got gifts that were appropriate for the King of the Jews. They, I'm sure, thought hard and long before they came about those gifts. Likewise, as we worship, we should focus on one more of these aspects. His glorious or his official glories as possessing full deity, equal and eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. His moral glories as the perfect man on earth who fully and perfectly translated all of the will of his Father into the terms of actual life, thus glorifying him on earth. And then his redemptive glories, which he acquired by the substitutionary sacrifice of himself upon the cross and his resurrection and glorification at the right hand of God. So, summary and conclusion, worship is an act of those who are wise. Worship calls for divine guidance. Worship necessitates both preparation and separation. Worship calls for both concentration of mind and determination of will. Worship is accompanied by joy. Worship is conditioned upon seeing the Son of God. And worship is a presentation of our gifts to God. As we meditate, dwell upon Him, worship will flow out. It will be like that spring. It just bubbles over and bubbles over until we can't contain it and we have to speak forth. Now, before finally closing, a few couple remarks. The story of the wise man is a true story. It did really occur. Jesus, the Son of God, came down to our sin-cursed world in order to provide salvation and eternal life to all who will receive and or believe and receive. Now, there's a possibility that there's someone here today that has never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never heard. Maybe you've just put it off. You know, like, I'll think about that. Oh, that'll come later. Well, if so, you're lost. The truth is that all of us have sinned, and we need forgiveness of sins. Because of our sins, we are separated from God. But if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you will experience forgiveness of sins. You will become a child of God. You will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus who died on the cross for your sin. Jesus who rose again, showing he had power over death itself. I have a Christmas gift here. And if I offered this to you, and I said it had $100,000 in it, well, you wouldn't believe me, first of all, and it doesn't. But suppose it did. Suppose this was filled with cash, $100,000 worth. How many of you would come and get it? Let me tell you, if you wouldn't, you'd be a fool. Okay? If you didn't come and get it, if you didn't take advantage of it, you would be a fool. But let me tell you, even if this gift were $100,000, how long is it going to last? A few years? Some of you could spend it in a couple of weeks. Some of you might really make it last, and it might go on to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Okay, so it lasts 100 years. Whoopee! What about eternal life? How long does that last? Forever. So a gift of 100,000? Peanuts! Nothing in comparison to eternal life. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Receive him as your Savior. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head. Father, we come to you and we pray, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be their day. Lord, we thank you for this lesson on worship. Help our hearts and minds to be full of worship. And Lord, if there's any here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would make today the day. We pray in your name.